Yeah, I'm Jackson. I have zero experience with carpentry.
I studied at a school for historic preservation in Boston and learned about how things were built, you know, 250 years ago.
There's a long way to go. I'm nowhere near the top. Not that I thought I was, but there's so much more to do out there.
Welcome back to the Passion for Craft podcast. Today we are talking about, what are we talking about today?
I think it was...
Let's do the build show first.
Okay.
Yeah,
we're going to get an update on the build show.
You just had IBS, or you went to IBS.
Just kidding. I've got a bad case of IBS.
It is truly the most unfortunate.
You know they've started changing the name.
Good.
To Design Construction Week. It's literally...
That's a lot better.
They really, I think, in fact, in one of the videos we did, we actually had to change the name. Don't say IBS.
Do you know it's because last year they had a IBS, like giant IBS, like that people were posing and taking photos in front of. And it was like, I remember I was looking at photos from the event. I was like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
What are we doing here? Maybe it was just on like IBS on like a placard or something, but it was just big IBS. It was like, what?
Yeah.
Who thought about
this?
Yeah,
who let that get so far?
We can quickly change it, you know?
So because they, I think it was during COVID or may have been during the recession. It's actually during the recession. They started, the Kitchen and Bath Show used to be their own show. And so the KBIS, Kitchen and Bath International something, so KBIS was then got together with IBS for a bad case of no. Anyway, they've been together for a while and they just started naming it Design Construction Week, DCW. Yeah.
Well, you usually leave there with the case of irritable building syndrome, right? Because everything you see.
Yeah, I kind of figured out. I mean, you asked me. Why do you keep going?
Yeah.
Right? You come back complaining about it every time. So I go to network mainly to go see people and to go see other builders and see what's going on. I don't like the
The products, really?
Are you trying to think about how to phrase this nicely?
No, it's just the whole presentation is so...
Kitschy.
Yeah, I mean, there's things like there's a whole parking lot full of foldable houses and, you know, mobile houses and, you know, these different things.
Your
and
house
so
folding up.
It literally, they're showing that it can drop down onto a trailer and then kind of be lifted out. And but people are trying to solve the building crisis with manufactured housing. Which, okay, good idea. I was reading a great article about it after I got back, and one of the things, we'll do a little rabbit trail here. One of the things this guy said is that the biggest challenge to building houses is not the technology, it's the regulations. He goes, you go get a car, you can go to the lot, you know, pick the color, pick the interior, pick the things, and you got to sit there for a number of hours, mm-hmm. But you can drive home with a car. He goes, if you try to build a house, it is months of regulation, months of that mm-hmm. you can't just go pick up a house or build a house the way you do that. He said it's just so hard to cut through all the red tape and the regulation and everything else that he said that's one of the biggest challenges. He goes, because you can build it in a factory more efficiently, you can build it with less waste, you can build it, you can work on the design, but you can't really get around the regulation because I've heard of the word NIMBY, the acronym NIMBYism. NIMBYism.
Is that Harry Potter's
no
broom from?
Not in my backyard. Not in my backyard. NIMBYism. And so they it's like people want to solve the housing crisis, but just don't do it near me, right? And yeah. And people want you know people be like tiny houses are great in another city, right? and so it's hard, right? Because you can come up with solutions, but no one's going to let you do it. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, a little rabbit trail. So but there are people. So in one sense, it's great that the building community is trying to solve these problems.
And wait, can I jump on that rabbit trail really fast? Yeah. Because we're gonna get away from this, but I just saw this video last week, and I was floored. I almost suggested it as a topic, but I don't think video episodes are as compelling. But whoa. Okay, so there's this guy, and he is a React YouTuber. His name's Danny Gonzalez, but he has like a second channel where he just picks up things that he thinks are fun. And so his second channel, 2Danny2Furious, he has he's reacting to this video of a guy who bought a house off of Amazon. So remember we were talking about that last time? Like, a guy literally did it. And so it turned out to be a marketing stunt from Amazon where they were paying this guy to buy the house. Or I guess that was his read of the situation at the end of the thing. But the guy is sitting in his car and he's like, oh man, someone's got to take my credit card away from me. I just bought a house on Amazon. And then like it does like an update video a couple weeks later. And he's like, the house is here, guys. I promised it was real. It wasn't fake. It wasn't whatever. And it shows him inside the house. And he's like, would you ever live here? No, I'd never live here. I'd never live in this house. And it was like, what? He's like, yeah, no. I mean, the roof barely 6 feet tall. I can't even stand up when I'm inside the house.
The ceiling or
the
roof?
The ceiling. So he's like, he's laying on the bed in his house, and he's like, you can see the ceiling in the shot. It's like, it's crazy. Anyway, he's like, I would only Airbnb this. I would never, whatever. And then Danny got into this whole like side comment about Airbnbs and how they are the worst places to stay ever. And they're like, he's like, why would you ever stay at an Airbnb? Like for trying to cut costs when it comes to like just stay at a hotel versus stay at an Airbnb. It's like the same price, but you're just living in someone else's space, or you're living in a space that someone else did not want to live in, so they've rented it out to you. And then the guy gets on the video and says
Are we now on an Airbnb topic?
No. It was more just the fact that they built this house, and the guy was like, yeah, it's horribly built. I would never want to live in here. It's horribly done. I would never want to.
I'm confused.
So someone solved the problem.
I don't know. It's a company on Amazon, or like a thing through Amazon where someone, a house, and they ship it out to you, and I'm sure it unfolds or does something where...
Well, it sounds like someone like trying to solve the problem, and
that's what I'm saying. That's why people are not.
People are like, no, I don't want this.
They're trying to solve the problem by like providing a house, but also the house that they're provided. The guy who even bought the house, which I guarantee you, the numbers on people who are buying houses off of Amazon is pretty low. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, one of the guys who actually did it was like, well, yeah, this is terrible.
One of the frustrating things is, and we saw a little bit of it in that production house we went and visited, is just the materials were so cheap.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Now, they were decorated really nice, but they were decorated pleasingly.
You could just say decorated, period. You don't really need to give an adjective.
No, I mean, you know, they had...
It's like when that lady said, do you like it? And you're like, yes.
Where did I do that?
When we were out front, that
remember
lady
she pulled
walked
out
up.
Do you like Austin it? And Kristen and camera pointing cameras. She's probably like, what is going on?
yes. Good job.
Caught in the line.
By the way, we did another rabbit trail. There's a guy who has teamed up with what's his name? Bobby Burke or Bobby something. He's one of the designers from Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, or whatever that Queer Eye, I guess it's just called now. He's timed up with TriPoint Homes, and he is basically designing their thing. It's fascinating. They have we're probably not even going to get back to the build show here.
No, we will.
I got to finish this story. Yeah, yeah. It's crazy. So he is, basically the designer for these houses. Okay. Yeah. And they have a whole thing like find your style. So I was like, okay, this ought to be good.
Yeah.
And so you click the button. There's like 20 different things that they take you through, and it's like, what do you do if you were going on vacation? And it's just like surf, look at classical architecture was one of them. I was like, well, that's positive. And so then it was like, go to the beach, you know, amusement parks, you know, just all these different things. And so I, of course, I clicked classical architecture. Which furniture do you like? They had like a Hans, they had that chair right there.
Yeah.
Hans Wagner. And so I clicked that and like, okay, here we go. And then it was like, what drink do you drink?
Yeah.
And
then Old Fashioned was on there.
No, it wasn't. It was beer, wine, martini, mocktail, soda, milk. Anyway, yeah. So I was like, this is weird. So I clicked beer. And then it was, which color do you like? You had to pick a color. Which fabric do you like? You had to pick a fabric. So then it started getting into these weird things. Like, where is this going? You get to the end of it, they it's like, send us your email and we'll send you the results. I was like, damn it. It's like, okay. So I sent it to them. And they
you have a burner email?
Yes, exactly. Okay, and they sent me, so that once you do that, they let you see. And it was basically, he's an interior designer. And so you weren't picking an architectural style. You weren't picking a house style. You were picking a
interior,
a mood. Yeah, yeah. And so it was like, you're international modern. And so the international modern is,
you are
apparently. And it was like 20% this, 20% this, 20% this. So, but the video that they gave me from the thing was this guy sitting at a table, you're international modern, and you're what you like is rough fabrics, and you like brick walls and metal furniture. And we're gonna do, and he walks you through this thing, and you're like, oh, okay, how did I get here? I'm reminded of all that.
Was he right about you, though?
No, he missed. Not only did he miss, I didn't even agree with what he was saying. So he, But that's what those guys were doing with these houses I was walking through. Like, there's just these cheap materials are not even real. These, you know, big sliding doors, you know, bad siding, bad trim.
You're talking about at the build show.
At the build show. Back at the build show.
Did you see anything you liked?
Wait, let me finish.
Okay.
And you go into these houses and they're decorated by a Bobby Burke or somebody so that they have a professional interior designer doing stuff so that the furniture's comfortable and stuff like that. But the product was just crap. Mm-hmm. It was crap. It was terrible. So I was just sitting there, I'm frustrated because that's the trick builders are using to sell their houses is, you know, they get a design team to go in there and
make a box beautiful. Basically. Make it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Exactly. And so you overlook the fact that you're walking on vinyl floors, mm-hmm. that there's 100%. Nothing real there, that the doors are crap. And so, and you're kind of fooled into, well, this is kind of like looking like a home, and it's just trash. Because most people aren't going to live like that. Anyway, what was your question?
Yeah. Oh, I was thinking, I've had this thought. I may have even said it before, but when you, what you're describing, to me, it's like this Instagram or Pinterest thing where it like, in a picture, it looks really good. But when you're there, like observing the space, it sucks.
Well,
that's what
happened on when we did the History Channel show is that I was like, we're not finished. We'll make it look good.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. And you're like, really? And so, of course, the camera pans across. You don't see any of the detail.
Paint's not dry.
Yeah. It was just fakery.
Well, it was crazy, too, because it was like, it's funny because the cameras can only see this direction. But like this whole area is like a finished off area and like actually looks really good. True. But, you know, there's a lot of sets where the set is what it is. And then the back is like, you know, a warehouse space or whatever. And it was that vibe. Like in a lot of the houses that we are in, the train car is one of the things.
Wait, he doesn't watch TV. So in TV, they do these things called
set. I've watched your show.
Okay, and, so you saw a fake set.
I want to know if this is fake. That we're on so many rabbit trails here. Well, this works completely off the path.
It's fine.
When you went to go with Jackson to look at those cars and you were bidding on cars, were you really going to buy a car?
No.
Okay.
That car was pre-purchased. So the guy, what we were bidding on wasn't even, It didn't affect the auction at all.
You liars.
But the only people who knew...
I feel so lied to.
The only people who knew were the seller and the bidder. So this one guy, they were like, whatever you bid, it doesn't matter because you've already bought the car. So it was basically like the guy was buying a car that he already owned.
We did a TV thing. We did a fake TV thing.
But it was really funny, like day of, because the auctioneers had no clue that it was like signed, sealed, delivered. So they, I guess they get a cut or something, but they are like in his face, like, you got a bid, you got a bid. And they're like trying to talk to him, like trying to gas him up, like, you've got, no. He won't, surely he won't raise. And we're like, I know he's going to raise because he already owns the car and he just needs to win it. Like, and then it was just really funny because finally he was like, ah, I'm out. And that I don't know what they wanted, but like no one else there knew. So yeah,
it was which is kind of fun.
That is, yeah.
It was very impractical jokers.
It was fun seeing those.
We all never told anyone. Cars. So you're just liars.
Here we are. This is our tell-all, Richard.
Yeah, exactly. So back to the show.
Look, the reason that these rabbit trails I think are good is because it's talking about the core problem that you have with the build show, which is.
Well, the build show sounds like
yeah.
Matt's
the build show is it's confusing,
oh, sorry.
Right?
The international build show, not the build show network.
Right. So, I mean, I'm on the build show. Obviously, I'm a big fan. Yeah, right. Yeah. The international build show is a lot of glitz and glitz, mm-hmm. and so which is fine. It's huge.
Yeah.
Okay. So literally, I walked, I think, 20,000 steps.
Wow.
And
it's like the Masters all over again.
I mean, that's a long way to walk, and so you're worn out. One, you're kind of just beat down.
You're old.
Do you have any groupies following you around, or people coming up to you?
I had a few people that said, hey, what's going on? Hey, good to see you.
Do you think you're approachable in things like this?
Probably not.
I was at like a convention recently where there were a bunch of famous people that were there that I... No, they're not that famous. Kind of like you, where it's like people know them if they know them
in
the industry, exactly. And there's one guy with a reputation of like he can either bite your head off or just be completely normal, and it's kind of like a lottery whether or not you're gonna get like this nice guy or like just an a-hole. And anyway, I had a really good conversation with him. He actually runs a podcast that we take a lot of ideas from and a lot of stuff like that. But there was another guy who was just total sweetheart, but I can imagine the guy's name is Slime is a tag, but I can imagine you're very much like Slime where if someone catches you in the wrong moment, they're just kind of like, okay, all right, there you go.
I shouldn't say that. I tried to be nice and accommodating everybody. Sure. So
I was giving you a hard time.
No autographs. Just dang.
No one brought a millwork catalog to you and said
one was an interior designer when I was in the KBS section, and she stopped me and she goes, wait, are you Brent Hull? And she goes, I work for a builder in Ohio or somewhere, and anyway, it was fun because I was helping her, right?
Yeah.
All my Wednesday videos and stuff were helping her think through stuff, and so she appreciated that. So
that's really cool.
Yeah, it was nice. My typical problem with it is that everybody's doing the same thing. Everybody's chasing after the same thing.
Which is what?
Cheaper, faster,
okay.
Snap in place.
It's the parking lot problem where there's the fold-up homes. Like that. That just goes against your core fundamentals of like why you build.
And so, yes, exactly. And so on the build side, okay, the construction side. So yeah. I'm talking about the kitchen and bath is really for interior designers.
Okay.
Right? It's not, builders will go over there, but
qualms with that side. They're kind of in their own realm.
Well, they're focused on design, right? Mm-hmm. And so you go to the hardware, you go to the plumbing fixtures, they're showing off design, right? They're showing off their latest colors, their latest products. But on the construction side, they're focused on construction, function, right? And so it's like no one's meeting, none of the products are trying to blend them both that I saw, that I I'm sure someone is, but I didn't see them. And so you go to the build side, the construction side, and it's, everybody's just like, this is going to solve this many hours. This is going to solve this. This is the new cheapest thing. This is going to last forever, whatever their products are. And you're like, gosh, that's really not the point of why I'm building. It's like we don't need to solve, you know, making wood, you know, or making trim indestructible. That's not really the goal. And so so I get conflicted, right? So I'm like, I go to the kitchen bath side, I see some fun things. I'm like, yeah, it's interesting. A lot of it looks the same. I go to the construction side, and everybody's like,
yeah.
Like, for instance, we were at one booth, and they were throwing a fastball. Okay, so they had a pitching machine, right? Of course.
At their crown molding.
Yeah.
I'm imagining already.
At siding.
Okay.
At siding. So they had the cage, they had the radar thing, and these guys were lined up and they were throwing a baseball at the siding, because the siding people were like, our stuff's indestructible, right? Yeah, and so here, throw a baseball at it.
Did anyone have an Elon Musk moment and break the Cybertruck?
Yeah, exactly. Stage? I didn't stick around to watch. And so
you didn't throw?
No, I didn't throw.
Clock 35 miles.
Exactly. Kind of more of a lob. It
rolls
a pitch.
Up, yeah.
Kind of thing, right? It's just like, really?
How often are you chunking a baseball at your house, you know? Like, how practical is that?
I mean, they're just trying.
You don't really have a fast arm, and that's
where that gets frustrating for me, because it's just like, really? Like, I understand the point that
they're getting people in the door.
Hale isn't going to do that. But the reason you're doing this gimmick is so that people will just stop. Because it's so big. You're just walking along and you're kind of looking at stuff and you're doing this. Yeah. And, you know, and so.
I got to be honest with you. I'm sitting here. I'm like, that guy's a genius. And he probably sold a ton of his siding.
No one's selling anything.
No, he did. He sold a ton. Numbers this year. Numbers this year are way up. I was talking to him the other day. I guess from a marketing standpoint, I'm like, that's genius, because you got to stand out. Like, you got to have something.
I know.
You're talking about it.
I know.
You know what would be cool? To do like a craft show, like a craft building show, where it's like, you know, DIY, nothing here is easy. It's all extremely hard, difficult stuff.
Well, so they have, you know, the tool guys will let you drill in and do their tool stuff. So that's fine.
Which I never understood, because I'm like, okay, it's a drill.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a drill. Like, what am I doing?
I'm assuming, yeah, that's true.
All drills are almost the same.
They have them
at
Home Depot. They're the exact same. Yeah. And there's that block.
If you haven't done a drill in a while, right, if you don't know the weight difference, or they have a lighter battery or something, maybe there's something there. I don't know. You're closer to the tool thing than
I feel like if you're the whole thing of like, I mean, I'm all for like lightweight stuff, but like, I think it gets to the point of ridiculousness where it's like wussy. Like, if you're losing half a pound or something, like, should you even be doing construction? Like, you need to be a little bit stronger.
Well, I mean, when you consider the money that those companies spend to set those booths up, I mean, in the kitchen and bath side, I mean, they're like building buildings, right? You're literally walking around the outside, and there's plants like a planter with you know, boxwoods going around the outside of this thing, and you're like, you know, dang, this is crazy.
And they're gonna tear it down and like,
yeah,
the next
so yeah,
they'll
day. Pick it up. And so those booths can cost hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars design and put together. And
you're
make.
Not saying hundreds of thousands. You're saying hundreds of dollars and thousands of dollars.
Hundreds of thousands.
Are you kidding?
Oh, yeah. We tried to do a 10 by 10 booth at a build show, and to build the thing, to ship it, to have it so that it could break down, to paint it, to put it all together, we were in tens of thousands. The hours you have to put in to make those things so easily, and furthermore,
tax write-off, though.
to rent the space,
yeah,
like it's, you know, another they'll spend $50,000 to $100,000 just to get their footprint in the thing. So it's
a
very expensive thing.
Do you set up a booth there, or do you just walk around?
No, we just walk around.
Does Gary set up a booth?
Who's Gary?
Gary Katz, the man, the myth, the legend Gary, himself.
Gary does demonstrations there.
Who's Gary?
Does he still do that?
He was there this year.
He was there. He was there doing that stuff.
He's meeting up with people, kissing babies, shaking hands.
Yeah. Like a president.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah.
But I like if you're Matt.
Yeah.
I mean, he is the cat's meow there. I mean, he's going to different he's doing bases. Autographs. He's doing this.
He's getting autographs.
I don't know if he's doing autographs.
He's doing autographs.
But he is. Sure but he's is. Standing up, talking to people. Hey, you know, he's a lot of the companies want him to talk about their product, and people know Matt. So, Matt has to go, right? It's a big time for him. But
should we have him on the podcast?
You know, he wants to come on to the podcast. So he's listened to.
But should we have him on?
He's downloaded.
Do we feel like he can talk about build? If only he had a show or a network where he talked about.
So Bill. We'll have him on in here in the coming weeks or months. Oh, sounds I also good. Saw Nick Schiffer there and his builders up in Boston.
He's big
modern,
fan.
Me too. The Modern Craftsman podcast.
He builds a really good house.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, he cares about quality, cares about building right. And so I saw him there and said, hey, love your stuff. He's like, I love your stuff. And I was like, you need to come on our podcast. Yeah, I want to have you back on my podcast. So
you've already been on his, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he said he'd even fly down. So
that's it was worth it for you to go see the fastball.
Hey, networking.
Exactly. Networking.
Wow.
Yeah. So
imagine that.
Anyway, the build show is, I wish I could go like every 3 years. It would be worthwhile because then you could see things that...
And you go every year right now?
Right now, I go every year.
If only you had like a guinea pig that you could just send in your place.
Who would that be?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm just throwing ideas out there.
You guys should go.
We're all at the fastball sighting place the whole day.
Your arm. Throw your arm out.
We don't even see what's
going
on.
You come back with a sling. Your arm is sling.
We come back. We need the lightweight drills now.
Yeah.
You guys should go. You guys should absolutely go. It would be fun to hear what you guys think.
I just got bombarded last time. No, I'm just kidding.
That's actually real, though. You probably would be bombarded there.
No, I don't think so.
Really?
I doubt it.
I think your audience is probably...
I feel like your audience is there.
...is trim carpenters, right?
Yeah.
Is that not there? What is, I guess, can you explain the build show to me?
My audience is probably working.
Yeah. No, the International Build Show. Can you explain, like, so we've got kitchen. What do you mean by builders? Because I look at Richard and say he's a builder.
I don't think he's a builder. It's weird because there's this guy I watch in New Zealand, Scott Brown Carpentry.
Dan Unda.
Really good, awesome YouTube channel.
Dan Unda.
Is New Zealand considered it? Down under?
Yes, it's close.
Okay.
It's on the southern hemisphere, so.
Okay. Yeah, he was like, where was I going with that? Oh, yeah, he calls himself a builder.
Yeah.
You know, but he's a carpenter. But I don't know. I feel like the rest of the world, like if you work with tools, you're a builder. But yeah. I never even saw myself as a builder. I still don't.
Yeah.
Let's say I'm a finished carpenter. Right?
In that well, kinda, and you like hardcore specialize in finished carpentry. And it even said like you're truly trying to stay in that lane over going into building.
When I think of builder, though, I think of like someone who has a company, who has the resources, who's building a house.
Okay.
Like
the holistic home versus like
parts of it. I think when you start
building,
subcontracting other trades to help you complete a project.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you are, you know, hiring a mason, you're hiring, you know, a painter, you're hiring different people because the total project's under your control.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm curious is if in 5 years you kind of morph into more of a builder. One, you're going to get to a point age-wise where you just can't do everything like you can now.
You're talking about those stairs earlier.
Yeah, those stairs
right?
are...
And so you get worn out, right?
Stairs are intense.
You're still fairly young. So, I mean, but maybe, how do you, 35, 34. I mean, when you're 44, right? I think it would be natural for you to morph into building just because you're tired of walking up the stairs and standing on a ladder and, you know.
Why you never help us.
It's just harder. You know, I'm 58, right? I mean, those things. I walk on the golf course, my knees hurt. I'm just like, I'm not even working and my knees hurt. So I think that'll be interesting to see whether you morph into that. So a lot of the guys there are builders, right? And so there are tradesmen there. There are, you know, but you're not going to get as much out of the build show as, you know, I would, because there's more people that want to talk to me as the builder because they know ask for and buy their products, right? Because we're buying appliances, we're buying siding, I'm a main decision maker. That's really what they want.
Yep.
What will you walk me through, like, the percentage breakdown of people who are there to put on a booth versus people who are there just to explore what's being offered? Like, does that make sense?
I would say it's probably the exhibitor is probably 10% of the crowd.
Exhibitor being the person who's putting it on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there's like a good amount of people who really just go.
Those booths that, you know, I'm talking about, they'll have 20 salesmen in there, 30 salesmen. I mean, they'll have a lot of people walking the floor talking to clients. I mean, Rockwell's booth was about as big as this room.
Wow.
So you usually buy them in 10 by 10 sections. They had
20 by 10.
There may have been 30 bigger than that. They may have been bigger than that. But and there was 10 guys standing in that booth. Right.
And ready to talk
to builders as they come by and hey, let me talk to you about that. Hey, any questions? And so anyway, there's a lot of those guys they're sitting there doing that.
So this thought just crossed my mind.
Oh boy.
it's not anything like that. It's seriously like the build show, these convention type things. It's not a new idea, right? I mean, historically, like, this goes back far. Like that, what were those world fairs, like, where they would build, like, architectural monuments?
Yeah, 100%.
That's something.
100%.
Yeah, like the Eiffel Tower got built at one.
You're right. That's true.
1910.
So you know, the Parthenon in Tennessee was...
a world fair?
Yeah, and it was their sequicentennial or whatever it was, or centennial.
Bless you.
And it was made out of, like, it's permanent now in the park in Nashville. It's a replica of the Parthenon because they were the Athens of the
exact
South.
Replica or like scaled down.
No, exact scaled replica.
Wow.
So if you go look at it, you can kind of see what the Parthenon looked like. But
and
it
you
was
stay in the South and never have to leave.
They built it because they're the Athens of the South, right? So they had the Parthenon there. There's a plaque there that explains that they built it out of temporary materials. And because it was so popular and because people wanted to see it, they ended up building it again to last for a long time. Because
built it right the first time.
Yeah, really.
But the White City in Chicago, the Columbus World Fair, that's so famous. Devil in the White City is a book written about it.
It's the guy murdering people in the hotel.
Uh-huh. And so he...
You know about this?
No.
This guy was like putting like some sort of poison in the ventilation system of the hotel, causing people to hallucinate. Then he like trap them, put them in a room, and then kill them.
At
like
the World's Fair.
First serial killer.
Remember how he killed him. I remember him burning the bones and doing all kinds of weird stuff.
There was a Psych episode made off of it, so I'm pretty familiar.
Pretty familiar with.
It's like a comedy TV show. And they paradised it. So, but it is a. He was the first serial killer.
It's thought he was the first serial killer. Well,
they're the ones that they reference.
And so, anyway, this guy Eric Larson's wrote this book, talking about the building of the Columbus the fair, which Chicago won because New York they baited out New York to have it, and was it 1895, 1896? Anyway, it's a fabulous, beautiful. Did you come to my Builders and Brew when I talked about that? One of my Buildings and Brews. But yes, they built this incredibly beautiful classical city, and it got torn down. It was crazy. They had lagoons and lakes and. And all
how long did it take them to build that? That's what I never understand.
It was like a year.
That's crazy.
Maybe a year and a half.
But because they have those government contracts for it, it's just like, let's just throw time and money at this thing and get ready for the whole world to be here.
It's more they, you know, threw up chicken wire and then put plaster on it. So
it wasn't real building.
Well, it was real building, but they weren't building it out of stone and, you know, that they were...
Temporary materials. So it was
materials. Like plywood. Just temporary materials.
Or not plywood, but just like wood with... You know, stone facing veneers, I guess.
Yeah, but what they did was they actually made it out of plaster and then they cut the stone in and painted it to look like stone. But it was That's white. Crazy. So anyway, it was
do they still do world fairs?
You know, I think they stopped in the 70s or 80s.
They should bring those
back.
The
only reason I brought it up is cool. Because it would be cool to go to one. It'd be and so like cool. But it wouldn't be this
Well
cheap
the problem
Depot stuff.
is like I don't think, like when they did that World's Fair and when they did the World's Fair, people would come from all over the world, right? To come see these different exhibits. And there was a lot of things that were being shown off there that hadn't been seen before. Remember Frank Lloyd Wright and the Green Brothers saw the Japanese pagoda at the Chicago World Fair. And that, you know, but today... Everybody would see it on the internet. Yeah. And so nothing's new would be there. I mean, the Eiffel Tower, the Crystal City. I mean, all the different things that were wonders of the world, no one saw, right? And mm-hmm. so to go.
Now we're lazy. I've already seen it.
And see that, like, you wouldn't be as cool. exciting. I remember, I think it was in the 70s. Someone ought to Google that. When was the last World's Fair?
I'm on it.
I think it was in the 70s. I think it was in New Orleans. Oh, and it just, I think they probably stopped making money and they stopped doing it.
I wonder if there's any old build shows where they had like, look at our double hung window. And it's like a historic window. Probably not, right?
I love watching those old videos on building and construction.
What? Astana, Kazakhstan in 2017.
Is the next World's Fair?
2017.
Oh, was the last one? What was it? What was the one in America?
Last one in America, Aichi, Japan 2005, Spain 2008, PRC 2010. Just give me a second. It's loading. It's not.
Well, in any case. So the whole idea is that of these shows is to get people to show up. And this was a record attendance.
Wow.
So,
guys, we should go. The next one is in Japan in 2025 under the topic Designing Future Society for Our Lives.
Okay.
Book it.
Yeah.
Should we make a booth on like really strong sidings? That we can throw.
They're all laughing at us.
Stupid. But Americans. You were asking just kind of what the deal is.
Well, yeah. Also, like, I guess those world fairs are awesome. Like, bringing titans of industry together. Now we've got the build show, or sorry, the international build show, which is supposed to be the same thing, but for building, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably one reason I get cynical about it is because I go every year and I keep seeing the same things over and over again. But if I went every third year or every fifth year, I'd probably be like, oh yeah, there's some interesting stuff. But it's like, it's a little bit like, remember CES when, computer electronic show, whatever, what it's called. It's apparently the biggest show out in Vegas, but Apple used to show up and it was always going to be a big announcement. And then Apple stopped going to the CES. You remember
they started
that?
Putting on their own ones.
Putting on their own. Yeah.
There's actually been a trend to that in a lot of
the
industry.
And so there's a lot of manufacturers who don't do the builder show like on purpose. And so it's just kind of they aren't getting enough business. They aren't getting, you know, it's not telling the right story and stuff like that. Like Windsor, I don't think they could have a booth. They don't have a booth.
Mm-hmm.
Decided
Did they used to go?
Uh-huh.
Because I think I went with you one year.
There was another one called, there's another one out on the West Coast called PCBC, Pacific Coast Building Conference. They used to show at the exhibit at that show. But
Windsor's the one with the Got Wood slogan, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I think there's better shows for you. For instance, the build show not the International Building Show, but the Build Show, Matt Reisinger's thing, is going to do an event in November. And it's going to be a regional event that I'll be speaking at. You know, everybody's coming down. There'll be all this educational content. But nice. But the same people that do JLC Live are doing our show. Wow. Now, the big deal, those are the best shows I've ever been to, the JLC Lives.
Oh, this is where they're actually like installing a door live. Yeah. And like
you got
showing
you
stuff.
You got these.
Is it because they're doing more practical stuff that makes them better, or is it?
Yeah,
because
I mean, but they have these experts. There's this guy that does drywall, and it's like he's probably makes a living going around doing shows doing drywalls. I can't remember his name, but the
drywall guy.
There's
drywall shorty, I think.
there's a few. You know, Gary Katz used to make his living going to the JLC Live show.
Also Gary Katz Roadshow.
And then he started doing the Katz Roadshow and kind of moved away from JLC. But anyway, that's a show that you would get a lot of value and you'd kind of see some different stuff. There's a lot of smaller, like the Collins Coping Saw, the coping shoe.
Oh, the
shoe?
Foot?
Yeah. He would sell at a JLC Live show.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But he would
sense.
Never be at a build show right? And so he's really... Hey, here's a solution to your everyday trim stuff.
Yeah.
And
I should get Tom to go with his fence.
Yeah.
That would
be perfect.
With that Kaizen fence. Yeah.
Would you, either of you, ever organize, put on some sort of event like this with the intention of just getting great builders out in one place? I guess I'm thinking like in terms of a world fair, like, do you think there's benefit to getting a group of people, builders, together? And whether it's like kind of middle of the nowhere, contracting a house to be built by a bunch of builders, someone like Richard, you take all the trim in this house and we're going to show this place next year. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Kind of think of your master builder university. Right. That's kind of what I was thinking when he was saying that.
Yeah, I was thinking about, I didn't know what he's going there. I'll tell you the show I wish they still had.
Mm-hmm.
There was a international traditional building show.
Okay.
Yummy.
It's
ITBS.
It's BS. <better. laughs>
It's BS.
So the traditional building conference, okay, which is now, you know,
TBS. No, TBC.
Please stop. There's the traditional building show used to be huge. It used to be in the Boston Heinz Convention Center.
Wow.
There was 120 exhibitors.
Wow.
Today there's like 4 or 6, right? So,
and is that because they don't exist anymore? Or is that because they don't go?
I don't know what happened. The story is that I think it was in the 80s, there was a international traditional building conference.
Yeah.
And so all of these met in somewhere in Germany, I think, or France, and basically all these international providers came in, and it was this huge show, very popular. That's why they started the traditional building show in America, and I don't know what happened, why it stopped working, but they used to be huge, and used to be all the vendors that I would work with and want to do business with and stuff like that. Like Ludovici Tile or something like that.
Yeah.
And
do they go to the Vegas one? No.
See, so. That's I think there could be something so cool like that. Like if they did that and they go, all right, Germany, you're coming out to represent. Like we're going to give you this plot. You're going to build like a tiny home on it.
I think it's a great idea.
And there's like a contractor who's over everything. Like you're like, I know exactly who I would want to pick to be my tile guy. I've been looking at these window guys. You know, and first year it kind of sucks, but then every year after that, more and more people.
I don't, you know.
Like Quinlan Terry takes England and, you know, runs a show there and puts together the English
the
home.
The problem is who your audience is. I don't think you can have architects, builders, craftsmen, everybody's going to show up to these things.
Right. No, that's a good
point.
I
think that, you know, the architects go and they want to hear, you know, design things. And you know, builders and contractors, they want to know solutions, and it's
kind of hard. You just got to appease everyone, and everyone wants a different thing.
Yeah, and so you know, the other problem with the traditional building conferences is that, what was I going to say?
Your dog threw you off?
Yeah, my dog threw me off. He's barking in the background.
You were saying a problem with the traditional build conference. I was saying, you know, you said it takes different things for different people.
Well, I remember what I was going to say. So the problem is that a lot of the vendors that do really good work are small, mm-hmm. right? And so, mm-hmm. like...
You're small.
I'm teeny, mm-hmm. teeny weeny. And so, you know, us trying to go do our 100-year window at a show.
Yeah.
One, we're so small that...
That would bankrupt you.
If we got two or three jobs, I don't know if we could do much more than we've got on our plate right now.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's just
You shoot yourself it's like in
we
the
don't
foot.
Yeah, we don't have mm-hmm. capacity necessary. Oh, that's why he's freaking out. Is the guy's doing the lawn mowing.
He loves lawn mowing.
So he freaks out. And so there's a lot of people out there that are, you know, we've got 40 people working with us, but in just the 100-year window, there's 20, 25. You know, that's a good mid-sized small business. Mm-hmm. Probably a small business. There's a lot of me out there. There's a lot of, you know, custom mill shops that, you know, maybe do a lot of cabinets or maybe do something mm-hmm. that the capacity, and you have to be a certain size to be yeah. able to afford and then want to go generate that kind of business.
Right.
And usually I'm so custom, right? I'm really looking for a very specific person. Where am I going to meet that person? Mm-hmm. And where am I going to, you know, find that right, you know, influencer who's going to help, you know, drive sales? I can't go to those things because I'm so narrowed and so niched. It's just like those big shows don't do anything for me. They're just, mm-hmm. it would just be clutter. And mm-hmm. I'd be getting calls from people who don't really even know what our product is or how to use it.
Right.
It's what? It's how much? You know, it's just, or whatever that deal would be.
Mm-hmm. A lot of confusion about the product.
Yeah. So anyway, it's just, as you sit there and try to build a thing, I think the information, it would be great and fun to go to, but
yeah.
I don't know who's making money there.
And no, that's a big key portion of the whole deal, some would say.
most would say.
Some, yeah. What, if you, how long would it take, how long do you think it would take the 100-year window to scale?
100 years.
I mean,
Well, I guess to scale to a point where, like, Windsor, you can just go, you know, hey, we're everywhere. Like, we're making a buttload of these. You can pick up a 100-year window for your house.
That's a good question. I think that...
Or is that even a goal of the 100-year window?
I don't know if... I mean, if I was going to forecast out, we're due 5 or 6 million this year.
Okay.
You know, we're going to hit these walls. And the way mill shops grow, they kind of go like this. They mm-hmm. stair step. And so we're going to hit a wall where that shop out there is going to be limited by how much you can do. So it's going to be, you know, maybe at 8 million, maybe at 10 million that yep. we're going to have to either build a new facility or increase our square footage and stuff like that.
Right.
So the way Alice is selling and doing her job right now, I think we could get to 8 or 10 million.
Yeah.
Now, the problem is you got to do that every year, right?
Right.
You've got to continue
Once
to find
you grow,
new
clients. You have to keep finding new
clients. Yeah, so, I mean, you might have this bump where you got a whole bunch of sales, but you want this consistency and stuff like that.
Yeah. That's a good answer. That makes sense.
So, International Building Show, not a complete waste of time, but frustrating to see for me to see the energy the industry is spending trying to go down a road I think leads to nowhere.
So we're going next year.
we will need to crack that sighting.
It'd be fun. You know what would be fun is to go out there and then do a podcast out there.
Where is it?
We're like there, just Vegas. Like, this place sucks, and like a table.
Dude, Richard and I are like the prime candidates for Vegas.
What's that?
We're the prime candidates Vegas. Neither of us drink.
I want to crack that siding. I pitched. I actually pitched for like 6 years in baseball.
Way.
Yeah, I could probably crack it.
How fast was your fastball?
It's probably 92, like
92, 93.
No, I stopped in high school, like middle school. Grader, so like 60 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty fast.
But I did pitch a no-hitter.
Did you really?
Yeah, against Lake Worth.
That's pretty awesome.
They were all crying. It's like nobody hit the ball. I struck out everyone. That was a good feeling.
That's
the
cool.
one time. That's awesome. Glory days.
Yeah, that is the glory days. Take me back to
Mexico. Yeah, so, yeah, I think we should go next year.
Yeah, I'm in. All right. All right, guys. Thanks for watching this episode of the Passion for Craft podcast. If Brent met you at IBS, I'm very sorry. just kidding. But, yeah, thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.